Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to answer your big questions about the gathering coming up in July.
We are in the home stretch. Mark and I want to believe there's lots of time, but we are in those final, we can't even say months,
right.
Really,
before
the LCMS Youth Gathering in July. And as we do, we can imagine there are lots of questions that are coming to our office, either via email or phone call, not to mention the questions we see popping up on the Facebook group or in our monthly Zoom. And so we thought we would take some time on the podcast to answer some of these like commonly asked questions about on the gathering right now. Hopefully, it's one where you can listen to it and go like, oh, I knew all that information and feel very, very smart. If you're listening to this and you've had some of this stuff rolling around in your head, maybe this is a chance for you to gather just a little bit more information, feel a little more confident about bringing kids to the gathering. The first one, we actually get a lot, which is just, Mark, how many people does it take to plan a gathering?
Literally thousands. when you think of the planning and the implementation of it, and that's blessed by the work that our youth ministry staff puts on, and certainly connecting with our planning teams and the things that happen within the building. I mean, we don't say it enough a lot. Like, I mean, we're very blessed here in the International Center. There's staff outside of the youth ministry office that make this possible. Right now, we're getting into this time, like, the people that will help us ship stuff down to New Orleans, like all those kind of things within the operations of the building that help us put it on. Those are no small tasks that happen. And so we're so thankful for the service here at the LCMS. But then you think of our planning team, that's roughly about 200 people that have been, you know, doing this for anywhere from a year to 2.5 years in preparation of kind of doing the big planning and then now moving into the implementation phase for sure. We got some contracted workers in there from across the LCMS that help us do again some of those expertise work that we have. We think of our vendors that we have from our AV companies. We think of all the staff that are at the convention center and the Dome, the NOPD, New Orleans Police Department, that will be keeping us safe. All those workers that go into it. We have great contacts in the city as well. And then, of course, we've talked about this on the podcast before in other places. And so then we got our on-site volunteers that just do an amazing job. It really does what I think makes our event unique when we talk to event planners, like within facilities and stuff, that the energy and the connection that our ambassadors and our young adult volunteers and our team Flex bring to the process. It's just, you know, we kind of say that they're the hands and feet of Jesus and the hands and feet of the gathering in terms of creating a hospitable and safe environment. That is just really special. I mean, to see the love of Christ shared by those volunteers, by so many, just multiplies the effect of the event. And it's not, what's cool for us is it's not just for our participants, youth and adults. Those are the people too that we hear from, like our event coordinators and the staff of hotels and of the facilities, that are just those that take time to give thanks for them, for all the work that they do, and just be able to, again, that extra extension of Christ's love into the event. So, I mean, when you add all that up, I mean, we're talking thousands of people that it takes to bring an event that is enjoyable as it is, a learning experience that it is, meaningful it is, and then certainly the safe and the logistics side of it, too, is such an important part to make the most of the 5 days while we're there.
We are grateful for everybody who helps make this gathering go in. And often those people go unnoticed and thanked, right? So we certainly are blessed with a plethora of people with so many gifts. We talked about this last night in the update.
Right.
What does registration look like? Why is orientation required now?
Yeah, so registration, we're gearing up for that. Like, it was really fun. I mean, this week we literally had volunteers and staff in putting together wristband packets, putting in a few surprises to get ready for registration on site. And so that is something that'll take place on site at the gathering. So we're going to ship all those things down, have it ready for adult leaders to show up on Friday and Saturday, 18th and 19th, to register. And so you'll have basically, I'll let you kind of take the orientation side here, but before you get to that point, essentially you come and you'll come through and you'll have an assigned number for your line. You'll match that up. You'll go through. If you had the express registration, you'll go straight through, get your wristbands, get a little something for registration piece, get your t-shirts, get your bags, get all those things that are part of your registration that you'll be able to give then to your participants and adult leaders. Bring a friend, bring an adult leader to help, or a youth to help too. And so you'll be able to get that. And then if you still have a balance remaining, your letter is going to say to see the help desk. And then that's where you can take care of that again on Friday or Saturday, whether it's a church check or your credit card payment, that you'll go see Becky or Emily or Sandy probably at the help desk, and they'll be able to take care of that right there on site. So just be prepared for that as you're like kind of budgeting your time, that if you are have help desk in your letter, that that's something you'll need to do that. We'll try to make that as efficient as possible. But really, the registration process is pretty slick to get the things that you need in and out. But we're really excited. It's something different, but we think it'll be beneficial is that we are requiring orientation for at least one adult leader to come ahead of time. So you have to get your golden ticket, right?
Right.
To be able to get into the registration line, complete registry. So it is something new, but we just really learned, we think that there is important, valuable information that happens last minute. That we have a lot of different ways we try to communicate that, but we know we're not perfect in all those avenues. Right. And we thought the best way to do it is actually have a face-to-face time with an adult leader to be able to pass that on. So why don't you speak a little bit more about orientation?
So a dual leader team, really, orientation has been one of those things that we had tried a number of ways. If you've been in past gatherings, it's looked a couple of different ways we've done it. And really have felt like that it hasn't quite hit what the need is in terms of now you guys get so much information ahead of time off the website, off the update Zooms, that people were feeling like, okay, well, why do I need to go to orientation? And for us, that's a reasonable question to be asking. Like, what is orientation giving you that you haven't already heard from us in a number of different ways? And so what we did is sort of think about orientation as sort of the as the one place where we're going to hit the most important things and we're going to hit anything new. And we're going to do it on a video so that it's concise, it's short, it's visual, it's interesting so that it's not just somebody verbally giving you information. We're going to have it so it starts every 5 minutes or so. Come in, you're going to watch a video, you're going to have a couple of things that a leader is going to say, and then we're going to let you go. And if you feel really good and confident, great, head on to registration. Mm-hmm. We'll give you a golden ticket and let you do that. If you still have some questions, then we'll have plenty of people around who are going to be able to answer specific questions for those groups so that everybody walks away feeling prepared and in whatever way they need to. So they're getting the most important and the most up-to-date information in the actual orientation that's really very, very short. And then if you have additional questions, you can ask those. But for those of you that are ready, then you can head on to registration.
And so then we've been saying, I mean, probably if you think of all that involved in, like, I would budget at least an hour of your time when you think of, because you got to remember, too, these convention centers are a big place. So it does take a little bit of time to walk from place to place as well. So, like, from when you get to the front door, you're going to be walking right into the registration area. Orientation is probably no more than a 5 minute movement up to that room. You got to come back down and then go through the line. So, like, you know, you got to budget that time in. A few other things about registration just to keep in mind is for the first time, we have the Convention Center Sports and Games area open on Saturday only from 11 to 7. So, again, if you're looking for something to do that's free, kids start to mingle with other Lutheran kids from the area or just your own group, that's available. So, like, you can bring youth with you. They just cannot be in the registration area. They'll need to go to, like, either the store or to the actual sports and game area. So remember that. Lunch will be served at the concessions starting at 11 o'clock, too. We're hoping to probably until 2 o'clock or maybe when things settle down for food. So concessions within Hall C lobby will be available. So that will be there. And then the other thing to keep in mind, too, that if you are not at a hotel nearby the convention center, we have a shuttle on Saturday that is a return only. So you're not picking it up to come to the convention center. So don't be looking for it there. You'll actually pick it up at the convention center when you got your bags and everything. And then that will get you, there's about 5 or 6 stops along this loop that they're doing, kind of up Canal and Poydras, that you'll help you be able to know, like, where to get off, but at least get you closer to your hotel if you got, again, friends with you that are helping you carry bags. So the walk's not so long. So that'll be something that'll help you as well. So again, Friday afternoon, 1 to 5, Saturday all day, 8 to 6, time for registration that we cannot wait to see you. I love it. That's when things start buzzing. We're excited to see how it plays out with having the sports and games open on Saturday, how many people want to partake in that. And so just we got requests, I think, from a number of times, just like, especially if you came in earlier doing something fun on Friday and then Saturday, maybe looking for something more cost effective to do, that we want to make that available to you. And the New Orleans Convention Center allows us to break up our space to where we can keep some air walls closed while we're still moving in the other areas, but open up the sports and games area. So we hope that'll be something people take advantage of.
Yeah. We work hard to make registration an easy, as quick as we can, but also giving you all the information that you need and all the preparation you need so that you're walking into that first mass event on Saturday feeling really confident that your kids are going to have an amazing event. So, we just released the app, which is so exciting. So much good information. Now everybody gets to see our speakers and gets a chance to sort of think about what their schedule day to day is going to look like. But I think a few people have noticed that the app is 17 plus. And we recognize that, that's a little bit weird for an event that's designed for teens. But that is actually one of those I don't want to call it a fluke, but like a rules thing in the App Store, which is that if you have links out to social media, and so for us that means links from speakers to their social media or links from our exhibitors to their social media, even our sponsors to their social media, because our app has those links, then it by definition has to be 17 plus, right?
Correct.
That is not because there is this is not the real app. This is not because there's something in the app that's inappropriate for young people. But it is it's just one of those functional things from the App Store.
Yeah, and so I know it went out in an email that was sent gathering update. There's kind of some links on instructions for parental permission, parental approval to be for like a young person under 17 that needs to do that. It's on the Facebook group as well. We can share that certainly if you email our office. But if you got that email that went out, I think the announcement for the app went out on June 4th, I think, when we sent it out. Okay. So if you got that gathering update, if you scroll down to the bottom, there's the instructions for how whether you have a Google or iPhone and how that can happen. So yeah, it's one of those things where it happened before. Last gathering, it was the same way. We were looking at other youth events, I know, in the Apple Store, and they were the same way. So it's not, they weren't, wasn't anything that was in our app. It's just those rules with the links that they have to do that by their policy.
Yeah. All right. So if you have a parent who's like, I don't know, is this the real app? Do I give approval for that? You can maybe give them a little information there. But with that app, we released all of the sessions.
Yes.
So what are things adult leaders should know about the sessions?
Right. Mark? So already a great opportunity to be in the app, to be kind of put your schedule together. Know that there will be this information in other places too. So the guidebook will have session description, kind of an overview schedule. We know we've said this other places, we already made some changes to what was in the guidebook. So do use the app as your most up-to-date schedule of where sessions will be. We're also planning probably, by the time you listen to this, we will also post maybe more like kind of a PDF download skeleton schedule too, just to give a quick overview of the topics and the time slots a little bit to help your youth, especially maybe a youth that doesn't have a smartphone to get the app, that they can kind of still see the sessions too and start to build their schedule. It might be just a quick, easy glance thing for you to use too as you're looking at the session schedule. So really excited again. We're so blessed by so many speakers across our church body who filled out an application, willing to come speak on their expertise, willing to take on a topic. I'm excited about just the level of competent speakers we have, as well as just the wide variety of topics we have too, from very practical day in, day out discipleship to some pretty meaty, heavy topics that I can't partake in them, but I can't wait to hear the recording afterwards.
Yeah,
just like I want to learn from those speakers. So I can't wait for that too. So I don't know, I think this came up maybe even on the Zoom last night. People were asking like, how do you manage that with your groups? And groups do it differently. I mean, I think probably a lot of them like have an expectation of, you can probably look at the schedule and kind of break it down. There's like 4 to 5 time slots in a way on the daily schedule. And usually probably groups, they like expect, if you don't have a servant event, that you maybe would go to 2 to 3 a day, maybe along those lines. So you can kind of set those expectations for your youth to find the favorite ones you want to go to. You might go to one of the bigger ones. There will be sessions in like our big rooms, like the Great Hall and La Nouvelle, where we're doing Bible studies in the morning, that like maybe you want to take your whole group to one if there's a favorite speaker there that you want to do that. So groups have different philosophies on how that happens, but I think it's a great way for your young people and adults too, who have different learning styles or different interests, to be able to kind of personalize the event a little mm-hmm. bit for themselves and hear those speakers they want to, those topics that they want to. So we're just really excited and thankful for the work the team did on that to put that schedule together and bring those speakers together. Why don't you maybe say a little bit about the adult side sessions yeah. and how that works too?
So plenty of adults are welcome to come to the youth sessions. We know that that can be really beneficial mm-hmm. to have adults and youth sitting together and hearing kind of the same speaker and getting that information. But we do want to encourage our adult leaders, if you can, or to really make some intentional time to be able to come to adult leader sessions. So there's fewer of them. They happen exclusively in the afternoon. But there are a ton of great sessions, ones that talk about our seven practices, mm-hmm. but like in more practical detail kind of spaces. We have a bunch that are theological in nature to kind of help us think through, hey, my kids are hearing this kind of concept, or apologetics, or hey, like, I know my young people are hearing about gender and sexuality mm-hmm. or mental health things in their sessions. How can you as an adult leader prepare to continue to start that conversation with them and to continue to engage with them on those topics? So some great adult leader sessions as well for mm-hmm. people. And I like to say, like, hey, adult leaders might not be able to do a ton all. You might not be able to do exclusively adult right, leader sessions, right. But certainly try and get to one or two a day if you can as a way to sort of engage there.
And those are solely in the afternoon, or in the afternoon, right? Because it's like right. not during the Bible study time. Just so right. you know a little bit about the schedule is, so really we've developed sessions essentially be going from 10 o'clock in the morning until, you know, like right before 6, 5:30, probably when they'll end. And so the goal would be, if you have a noon Bible study and you're not going off on a servant event or anything like that, you have the option to come in 10 o'clock to attend sessions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those will be smaller attended, obviously, because half the group's in Bible study. But then those same sessions that, like, say, happen at 10 will then repeat at 11:30, so that if you're a 10 o'clock Bible study, that option will be available at 11:30. So make sure you see the schedule on that. Again, that those, we're so thankful for our speakers willing to double up and speak like that too, so that, again, their message and expertise can be known. And then within the app itself is that right now you can actually build your schedule. So you can mm-hmm. go in and add sessions to your schedule. So like every young person, you as an adult, can already start highlighting those things. So you kind of spend your time wisely on those days, hitting the sessions that you want to, and see how that fits in your schedule. We do have a page in the guidebook too. If you get that, if someone's using the guidebook, that we kind of say like map out your daily schedule. So I think we have a places where, you know, what are some highlights on the thematic floor to go see, but then also time slot by time slot, maybe what sessions they'd be interested in. So just to kind of think through again, so that making the most time of the gathering experience, that if you want to right. do that ahead of time, we loved on the Zoom last night, someone was talking about they got one more meeting left before they right. come to New Orleans. And they're one of the things they're going to do is sit down and select a session or two a day. And right. so it's in their app, and they already kind of are thinking about that. So right. just kind of some things that we hope will help you plan your time and be able to utilize that well.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that you're going to see immediately upon getting your wristbands yes. at registration is something called our helpline.
Yes.
And oftentimes either you know, first-time adult leaders or participants who have not been to a gathering before, or even sometimes long-time mm-hmm. adult leaders don't totally understand what the helpline is there to do. And I think that's a tragedy because our helpline is
amazing.
It's amazing, yes. right? And it's one of the things that we want people to know is that the helpline is there for more than just lost and found, right? It's more than just, last minute information and that kind mm-hmm, of thing. Mm-hmm. There is so much that our helpline can do for you. And it's manned by quite a few volunteers, yes. Mark. So tell us a little bit about why would I call the helpline? Right. Who am I talking to on the helpline?
Yeah, so it is an interesting thing with our helpline is that on one level, they are such engaged and such servant-hearted people that on one level, you could say helpline kind of can be like almost like a concierge service mm-hmm. to ask a whole lot of questions Absolutely. That just, I can't find this. What's this time for this? Now, some of that stuff may be things you can find on your own, whether right. it's in our app or whether it's
Googling a map address to the nearest Walgreens or whatever it might be, certainly. But if you're struggling with that, the helpline can help with those things. So don't hesitate to ask those questions. Or especially if you find something in the app that maybe the information seems to be incorrect, they might have the most up-to-date that maybe the app hasn't been updated yet to be able to do that. The other part where help desk and helpline are very helpful is, again, maybe those things that would be outside of what you might find in the app. For example, I know in Houston, maybe we had this situation differently. There was a transportation issue and they were able to get updates on like maybe where their bus was and that kind of thing. Is that, we don't have that necessarily in New Orleans, but just like some of those things outside that might be safety concerns, ask the help desk, they might have additional protocol for you. And then the important thing that then we always add to is that if there are safety concerns or major injury concerns that happen at the gathering, or if you need, we have these great care teams and crisis teams, if there's maybe some mental health concerns, or you could use some additional support as an adult leader, even a professional counselor with a very specific emergency situation that's happening, that is how you get to those resources. And so help desk can take those calls and then dispatch additional assistance that we have. That doesn't take the place of like if you need 911 and that type of thing either, not saying that, but this is additional way that we as the gathering try to care for you as an adult leader and your young people who come. And so even if you have a major emergency where, again, it is something where police or 911 is called for that, if you think of it, when you get a time to just to decompress a little bit or ask one of your other adult leaders, please do call the helpline and let them know, because we do have additional resources where we want to be able to check up with on you and support you through that. So just kind of keep that in mind. Have the number. I mean, I already got it programmed. Actually, it was the same number as 2016. So it was already programmed into my phone. But make sure it's programmed into your phone that you can make that call if you need to as an adult leader. And just always amazed by the heart that those volunteers and that team work for, that they are there to serve you. They love your call. They love to be able to point you to the best resource or assist you any way that they can.
Yeah, it's a whole room of people who are just there to support you and help your experience, right? And they are well-trained. That team that puts together probably the most comprehensive set of information, everything that's happening at the gathering, so that they can give really good information. They're connected to all of our resources. So like Mark said, like our care and crisis team, but also our safety team and everybody. So they're kind of a one-stop shop for getting access to lots of the resources to help you as well.
We kind of call it the nervous system of the gathering a little bit. They've got that great connection. So
and so like, even as simple as I think the only time I had to call helpline at the last gathering was because I found somebody's backpack.
Yeah.
And called and said, I have this person's backpack. So in case that person called the helpline, they know where the lost and found item is.
And that team runs lost and found, but then also know because of the great systems that we have in place too, is that that is a way to both either can even call and ask for an item, and hopefully we've cataloged it well enough if it's been able to get through the system at that point that they're going to help you find it. Or also then too, if something is found, that we're able to get that into the system too and help that process. So one of my favorite helpline of info base and or info booth and lost and found story was, I can't remember which gathering this was, but a participant had lost an important item, thankfully had his name on it. And he didn't even realize he had lost it. He left it somewhere, didn't even know it was missing yet, and was already back at his hotel waiting for him before he even realized he had missed it at the check-in desk. So like, that was still one of my favorite, like, just people want to do their best on that team to support you and all that you do. So they're just a great people.
But they also do a great job of gathering information so that even if we can't help you in that moment, it helps us to
absolutely
to troubleshoot, to, hey, next day, let's do something different. Let's do a traffic flow different. Let's do, we're going to put additional volunteers in places because we hear from stuff on helpline what it is that you guys need. So definitely take advantage of that. Make sure it's in your phone and use it as you need. One of the other things that we have been talking about recently has been about food options. And then I've seen some people talk about like, oh, what are you guys doing for dinner? Mm-hmm. Right? Because we have an amazing array of restaurants in New Orleans.
Right.
And do I need dinner reservations? Right? And we'll maybe start with that, which is you don't have to have dinner reservations, especially if you're a smaller group or if you're a bigger group that can break into smaller groups. But recognize that while New Orleans is a food city, there are some restaurants that certainly we've experienced this in our times up mm-hmm. there in the planning meeting where like it's a really popular restaurant, it's on a Saturday night, you may be looking at a significant wait to mm-hmm. get into certain mm-hmm. restaurants. Yep. So it's always good to have a plan and maybe a backup plan for how you're going to do food.
Right. And I think to both have a plan and then, like I said, backup to be flexible. So if you have not received this information yet, it might be coming or you might get in a phone call or figure it out when you get there. Some of you, if your hotel, especially if you're one of the larger hotels, may have food options there. So know what their schedule is, whether it's a breakfast grab and go. They might have a dinner option. They might have a late night option for when you come back to do that. We have, again, great hours we fill at the convention center. So there's great food options there basically throughout the day. You could do an early dinner there if you wanted to. The concession stand should be open until 6 o'clock at various places as long as the floor is open. So that could be an option for a dinner one night to do something different. We do for our larger churches, you probably maybe received communication about this, that there's a prepay option that some are taking advantage of that for both dinner and lunch. We're thankful for groups that do that because then that opens up concession lines for others. So we're thankful for how that will flow to again allow young people and you to stay engaged with the program. So all those are great things. And then really New Orleans is, you know, it's a hospitality city and it loves business like ours that comes in certainly. And so you're going to find restaurants who are going to know we're in town and right. they're going to find ways, you know, we tell them kind of generally what menu items our young people like, grab and go stuff's great. So you're going to find when you get down there too, like even just around your hotel, keep your eyes open for restaurants that are offering specials. They might be able to build a little bit of relationship with somebody and say like, hey, can we do dinner here one night? Keep us a table open and be able to be open to that. So it's just a great, one thing we love about New Orleans is all those options that it brings for food.
Yeah. So much good food.
If you haven't seen it yet on the website, especially if you're curious about the convention center, is we posted kind of a little bit of a, I think closer to we'll probably get the actual menus and locations where everything are at to giving you more details. But right now you can post and kind of get a general idea of the prices and probably food options that will be available as well as some potential vendors. And we're hoping to get a more specific list with probably like a map closer to so you just even have a better idea once you're on site where these options will be. Very important for me, plenty of coffee.
All
so
coffee.
Yes, yeah. We try to have a coffee stand every 50 feet. No, just
and didn't we like in was it in Minneapolis where we blew out their best weekend ever?
Yep. Yeah. Beat the Final Four. Beat the Super Bowl. That we had the best.
Drink more coffee.
Yeah, weekend option. Biggest weekend for them. I'm trying to think. The last morning, it was the morning of worship. I was still at the convention center just before I went over. And I walked up just to go get a cup of coffee. And like the worker's eyes got real big. He's like, you guys are still here? I'm like, well, no, we're just at over at the stadium today. He's like, oh, thank God. He goes like, your kids were amazing. But he goes, we didn't order enough stuff. We thought we were done. Like, and then that's when he told us. And we heard later from the convention center that confirmed it. That was their biggest weekend ever. So it was fun.
And so like part of that is to recognize that preparing your kids for when prices that you're going to see, preparing your kids for waits in lines, mm-hmm. And being able to have whatever strategy works best for your group in terms of preparing that food and knowing what the plan is so that that doesn't become, we all know what it's like to have a group of 10 people all try to decide a restaurant last minute.
Yeah. And we should probably say too, I know the question comes up a lot too. People ask about outside food at the convention center or the Dome. And you know, I appreciate when we've kind of said this, like, well, just imagine you probably know what the rules are when you go to a theater and bring in an outside food, that's kind of considered a no-no. Same thing for convention mm-hmm. center and for the Dome. In all seriousness, if they want to, they can confiscate outside food. They generally don't. They're not looking, I mean, especially at the convention center, they're not looking for that. They're not going to check your bags, but technically they can. So one, you will not be able to get any kind of food delivered to any of those places. So it just won't happen. They should know better to do that. And certainly that could be stopped at the door by convention center staff. About bringing your own lunches, is that again, we ask, think about eating it outside, like go to there's parks across the street to do that if you're going to bring that food. Or if there's like snack food that you have, you can bring that certainly, but just we ask you to be discreet about it. Don't take up seating areas for people who are buying concession food. So like maybe snack in the session room that you go to, or something like that. So you're not taking up those seats. Please be sure to take care of your trash. You know, be helping your kids do that. Be looking out after them so that we're not leaving messes when we do that. And then certainly for the allergy, especially severe allergies, convention centers are very understanding. Right. We'd recommend you have the medical form with you that you do that, but they're understanding to bring in, they want young people to eat and be comfortable. As do we. So they understand that. And then if there's other things like maybe more gluten avoidance or other allergies, is that I can't, I mean, this is one thing that's changed definitely, I think, in gathering prep and just in convention center, the amount of food variety we can get now for that.
Yeah.
And they market well too, like on menus and things like that. So you should be able to find, I think, something for everyone who may have a food sensitivity or allergy along that line. And certainly I think the website will be a great place for source. I mean, I'm sure people have found stuff that even the Facebook group can be a source of help. But the convention center is really doing their best to give us great menus, great prices as they can. Yep, there's going to be some things that seem expensive than maybe what you're normally used to, but in a downtown city, we're still very thankful for the work that they've put into to give our young people some options.
And I will say, as somebody who traveled to the city with some teenagers, a couple of whom have medical issues that require allergy-friendly food, we really did not struggle hard to find it, right? The restaurants down there are good about, there's plenty of spots where you guys can get things that are going to meet the allergy needs of your young people. So we got some maps out there. We got some other things that are out there to help you guys plan that. Hopefully, if you're flying in, you've already put together your shuttle or how you're going to get to and from the airport down to your downtown hotel. But you're thinking about, hey, we're leaving on Wednesday, but we have these clear bags and that's the only thing that can go in the dome.
Right.
Mark, how do we want us to be getting out with our luggage on Wednesday that's where we're headed?
Absolutely. So on Wednesday, by and large, one thing that we would say is if you can make it happen, please return to your hotel and depart from your hotel.
Yeah.
That would be the first thing that we would say. So kind of do that math of whether you're trying to get to the airport, or if you're driving home that evening, that is just gonna be the best thing. I'm gonna talk probably a little bit about why that is, but we ask that if, you know, by for everything possible, leave your luggage at the hotel. Every hotel, most hotels, check in with them, should have a room. They said there's standard concierge, but since we obviously have so many people checking out at one time, they probably should have an additional room at each hotel where they will put your luggage upon checkout. You might have other options where you can take it to a vehicle or something like that morning, be ready to go. That's great. But we ask for you to go back and do that. If you are on one of our ETS shuttles, that's our transportation company, that if you've bought that $18 ticket for the return trip and you are trying to depart, like let's say you're going to come to worship for a little bit and you're going to get on an 11:30 or noon shuttle from essentially the Superdome stop. There's three places where ETS is picking up on Wednesday morning, Hyatt / Superdome being one of them. The Hyatt is gracious enough to allow you to bring your luggage to the Hyatt ballroom. We have a ballroom on level 3. And so then our ambassadors will be there ready to help you. So you'd actually would walk it to the Hyatt and can go put it into that ballroom after worship, go get your luggage. And then basically you'll be walking out the front door and going to your right is where the ETS shuttles will be. So we ask you to do that. If you have your own buses and you need to depart quickly, then we would suggest you can load your bus in the morning from the hotel. And we ask that you walk to the dome for worship though.
Yeah.
We have created traffic jams on Wednesday morning with all our bus traffic trying to come to the dome at like 9:30, 10 o'clock before worship. Let the rush hour get through completely and then have your buses come maybe after worship starts, 10:30, 11 o'clock. And then lot number 4 is where they can park and where you can find your buses. And that's coming on the backside. It's actually over really by the Smoothie King Center, which is right next to the dome. So it's kind of on the backside. We have the maps in the guidebook, maps on the app to be able to do that. And so then that's free parking where those shuttles can go on that morning. If that's, again, if you need to get on the road quickly, either to back home or if you've got other transportation you provided for getting to the airport, we ask that you do that. So again, that Hyatt luggage isn't for everyone, just because we can't inundate them with too much, but especially if you're on those ETS shuttles that need to leave from the dome, we hope we want you to do everything you can to not miss the divine service on Wednesday. Right. So we hope you'll be able to utilize those services to do that and make that possible for your own people to be there Wednesday morning.
Right. I think it's easy for us to forget that, like, oh, it's a regular Wednesday for everyone else.
Right. Exactly.
And there will be downtown traffic.
And that's what,
people getting to work.
Right. Like, what's happening?
Right. Like, there is an outside world, especially by Wednesday of the gathering.
Right.
Like, when you said rush hour, like, traffic jams, and I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because it's a normal Wednesday for everyone else.
We shut down Poydras on Wednesday. I think that was in 16. It was mostly our bus traffic, unfortunately.
Being courteous yes. to our New Orleans friends. Great. So we could probably go on for hours on all these different questions, but I want to remind you that if you have questions and you're still wondering about different aspects of the gathering, there's plenty of places that you can go for that. So we just uploaded our pre-gathering guide. That has tons and tons of information, helps answer a lot of questions. It's easy to navigate. So you can go to the website, download that pre-gathering guide. It's going to give you a ton of great information. If you can't find your answer there, or if your question is about specifically something with your group, you can certainly welcome to call us, to email us, to put stuff on the Facebook group. We want to be here to help answer all of your questions as we approach the gathering. So a few questions for you to consider. We're turning the tables. A few questions for you to consider. Have you checked out that pre-gathering guidebook that's now available on the website?
Have you downloaded the gathering app?
And who are you engaging in prayer for your group while you are attending the gathering? Because we will continue to keep you in our prayers as you make your final preparations for the gathering. We look forward to seeing you there.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youthministry and find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.